VoiceAmerica.com, your Internet talk leader.
Welcome to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century with Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the host, guests, and callers. Now helping you with age management in the 21st century, here's Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century. This is your host, Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff, Physician Director of California Longevity and Vitality Medical Institute. Today's topic is arthritis. I can't believe this joint pain. My guest today is Dr. Harris H. McElwain, and we'll introduce our guest in just a moment. But first, for all the listeners out there, how many of you have some type of joint discomfort, joint pain, or swelling? How many of you have spouses, partners, girlfriends, boyfriends, parents, or grandparents with some type of joint pain or arthritis problem that causes discomfort, pain, swelling, or even interferes with simple everyday activities? What can be done to prevent it? What can be done to manage it, treat it, and in some cases, even prevent its progression? We'll tackle these issues today as we discuss arthritis. For first-time listeners, let's give a little background about the program. This program will be an informal series of discussions, questions, and answers about how to manage the aging process medically and successfully. We've chosen topics that we felt would be interesting, but that's where you, the audience, comes in. We want you to participate actively by calling in with questions, comments, or opinions to the toll-free number 1-888-335-5204. That's 1-888-335-5204. That's to ask a question to Dr. McElwain or myself. And remember that no question is too silly or too stupid. The only way to get an answer or to learn is to ask the question. And it's very likely that others have the same question that you're thinking, but might feel a little uncomfortable calling in. But that's okay. We're here to help and to provide honest answers without hype in a comfortable atmosphere. Before we jump into arthritis, let's take just a minute to explain what age management medicine is. This newer area in medicine is all about improving health span, improving quality of life, and delaying disease when possible. It incorporates the established practice of preventive medicine, along with balanced hormone replacement using only bioidentical or natural hormones, and nutrition, supplements, lifestyle changes, and when appropriate, integrative medicine. For more information, please go to my website, www.longevitymd.net. Well, let's talk about arthritis. Joint inflammation, sometimes with joint erosion, that can cause pain and disability. Arthritis actually encompasses over 100 different medical conditions, but we're only going to be talking about a few today. In 2002, there were over 70 million people in this country with arthritis, representing one in three adults. That meant 41 million women and 29 million men, and representing, in the highest estimate, over $120 billion in direct and indirect costs. Three out of five people with arthritis are younger than 65, in spite of our impression overall that arthritis affects middle age and elderly people. Osteoarthritis, or degenerative arthritis, is the most common kind, affecting 21 million Americans, is a leading cause of disability, and almost everyone over 75 has at least one joint involved with osteoarthritis. Arthritis is often due to inflammation, and there are several types of inflammatory arthritises. One, of course, is rheumatoid arthritis, which is an autoimmune disease where the immune system attacks the joints and affects 2 million Americans, three-fourths of whom are women, although rheumatoid arthritis is a disease that affects all parts or several parts of the body and not just the joints. And of course, gouty arthritis is the most common inflammatory arthritis in men, affecting over just under 3.5 million men. So with that, let's introduce our guest today. Dr. Harris H. McElwain is the author of Pain-Free Arthritis, a 7-step program for feeling better again. That's available at Amazon.com. He's board certified in internal medicine and rheumatology. That means he's a specialist in joint disease and he's board certified in geriatric or elderly medicine. He's on the faculty at the University of University of South Florida. He's the author of 13 books and has treated thousands of patients with arthritis. Dr. McElwain, welcome to the program.
I'm glad to be here.
Tell us how you became interested in the study of joint diseases.
Well, I've been interested in, as you mentioned, the autoimmune problems that we have. And most of those involve joint pain, swelling, stiffness, and arthritis of some type. So we found that the traditional approach to these problems has been to use medication. And what we have found over the years is that a combination of natural as well as medication treatments can give the best results in the pain and swelling and stiffness and help our patients get their lives back, get active again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us why you wrote the book, Pain-Free Arthritis.
Basically, that was it. Most books talk a good deal about the various types of arthritis, classification, or they focus on one single remedy. What we have found that everyone is different. It's important to find out what kind of arthritis you have. However, what most readers want is the answer. They want to know what to do, solve the problem of the pain and swelling and stiffness, and do it quickly. You can do this with a number of methods which you can control on your own, varying from exercise to diet to medication to complementary treatments. And what we find is that most patients are able to get to the point they can control their pain and stiffness without side effects and get back to their old way of living.
You have a whole chapter on exercise, and obviously you found it to be very important. Tell us more about it and how you approach this with your patients.
Well, exercise is one of the most important aspects, and it's often overlooked in the treatment of joint pain and stiffness. Whether you have osteoarthritis, which is the wear and tear arthritis, as you mentioned, whether you have rheumatoid arthritis, which causes inflammation and swelling in the joints, whether you have fibromyalgia, which causes terrible pain and fatigue, you can beat all of these, but the basic cornerstone is going to be exercise. The reason exercise is so important is because it builds up the strength of the muscles, and if the muscles give those joints more support, there's less inflammation and less pain. However, there are some catches. The first point is that most people say, you know, I feel terrible, I hurt, my back is killing me, my joints are killing me, and this guy wants me to do exercise, and I can never do that. The trick is start very slowly, and in the book we show you how, with sometimes only one exercise, one time, and then two, and then three, and you gradually build up until you get to the final goal of 15 or 20 of each one twice a day. Also, we recommend that you do this while you use some moist heat, whether it's a warm shower, a hot bathtub, whirlpool, moist towels. The heat helps relax the muscles and makes the joints less painful, and it suddenly becomes very easy to do the exercises. The other catch is that it takes a few weeks to work. So we tell people, look, you've got to talk to yourself. You've got to realize it's going to take a few weeks to tell the difference. And then after that, the longer you do it, the better you get.
How important is it that the heat be moist versus not be moist, like a heating pad?
It usually is most effective to use moist heat, like a shower or whirlpool or bathtub. Of course, the ideal situation would be a heated swimming pool. But most busy people find that the shower works pretty well. A moist heating pad is okay. And even a dry heating pad between sessions isn't bad. It's just that the moist heat seems to penetrate better. Now, some people actually do better with ice packs, or some people do better if they alternate ice heat. However, the majority of people end up using the moist heat most often for relief.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the patient may just have to experiment one way and see which way they get the best relief?
Yes, we recommend they try a few different patterns, but I can tell you that the huge majority of people find that the hot shower is quick, easy. For areas like the shoulder, it works great. For the neck and the back, it works great. And you can hop in the shower, do the hot water, do the exercises very quickly, and you can do that twice a day without changing your lifestyle dramatically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Before we get into the specific types of arthritis, I know you spend a significant amount of time talking about normal body weight, particularly in relation to osteoarthritis. Tell us about the importance of normal body weight and issues of overweight in terms of arthritis.
Well, you know, osteoarthritis is the most common type of arthritis, and it commonly affects the knees and the back. So think about it. You or you have friends or neighbors or relatives who have painful knees or painful back. Well, the weight actually aggravates that. And on the other hand, if you lose even a small amount, sometimes 10 pounds, it can make a very big difference in the amount of pain in the knees and the back. The best way to get it across is that think if you had a jacket on that weighed 40 pounds and you suddenly took it off, you're going to walk differently. The mechanics are differently. Your knees and back don't have to hold up as much weight, and you would feel lighter, and it does actually happen that way. Sometimes 10 pounds of weight loss makes a huge difference in how people feel and their pain control.
Mm-hmm. How hard do you get it, do you find to get patients to lose weight if they have arthritis?
If a person is overweight, it's our job to teach them why they should lose weight. And once they start, they feel so much better as they lose weight that they become very much a part of the program, and they become very proactive in the types of activities that lose weight, which is exercise, increasing activity, using up calories, and then the diet can actually serve two purposes. In addition to losing weight, the diet can also be a positive effect on how they feel from arthritis pain as well.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we're going to get into some of these specific types of arthritis, osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis and gout and various treatments. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Harris McElwain and pain-free arthritis.
So ladies, think you're an expert at multitasking? You're used to doing a million things at once, right? Well, it's not often you find a product that works as much as you do. Get ready to meet your match. Introducing Nordic Naturals Fish Oils, featuring omega-3 fatty acids, the ultimate multitaskers. These versatile oils support a healthy cardiovascular system, enhance our mood, sharpen our mind, and even help manage the negative effects of stress, all at the same time. Of course, not all fish oils are created equal. Nordic Naturals products taste great, not fishy. Their patented manufacturing process and purity policies make their fish oils taste light, clean, and fruity without the fishy aftertaste. Finally, a product that works as hard as you do. Patented fruity fish oils only by Nordic Naturals.
Ask for Nordic Naturals fruit-flavored omega-3 fish oils in over 20 formulations for the entire family, including children's chewables and liquids. Available at fine health food stores everywhere. 1-800-662-2544. www.nordicnaturals.com.
Breast cancer will affect 1 out of 9 women in the United States. As a woman, you need to know what you can do to make yourself more aware of breast cancer. Voice America is proud to present the Breast Cancer Awareness Hour with Dr. Deanna Attai every Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. On the show, Dr. Attai will educate you on the importance of early detection and some of the new techniques available for treating breast cancer. So tune in to the Breast Cancer Awareness Hour with Dr. Deanna Attai every Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Politics and business go hand in hand. Find out how by tuning in to The Tammy Says Show every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. The Tammy Says Show will feature informative and influential guests involved in the political world, as well as some of today's top business leaders. So tune in every Monday to get your questions answered as she cuts to the chase on the issues that affect your bottom line. That's The Tammy Says Show every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Internet Leader in Talk Radio, voiceamerica.com.
voiceamerica.com, your Internet Talk Leader.
We now return to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century. If you would like to participate in the discussion, call toll-free 1-888-335-5204. That's 1-888-335-5204. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff.
Welcome back to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century. Our topic today is arthritis, and my guest is Dr. Harris H. McElwain, author of Pain-Free Arthritis. Well, let's jump into the different types of arthritis. Dr. McElwain, tell us about osteoarthritis, the degenerative arthritis, and what causes this?
Well, osteoarthritis is the wear and tear arthritis, and it's not correct, but it's the stereotype that we all have of old people, your grandmother's knees, an athlete that's been injured in the knee. And basically what happens is the cartilage becomes less efficient. It may wear away or it just may not work as well. And that results in pain and many times swelling and stiffness in the joints. It most commonly affects the knees, the hips, the back, those areas that hold up weight over the years. And so those that have been injured, or if you're over age 50 or 55, you have a higher chance of that. There are types of osteoarthritis that are not as well known that happen to much younger people, including younger women. For instance, there's a type of osteoarthritis that affects the hands in women in their 20s and 30s and 40s that just seems to stay in the hands, but is still osteoarthritis and doesn't fit the stereotype of the older person or the injured athlete. So as you would expect, when you look into it more closely, it's not as simple. But basically, the problem is the cartilage is not as efficient, doesn't cushion, and results in pain and stiffness.
Mm-hmm. And you commented, of course, that sports injuries are a common cause of osteoarthritis in even a younger person. Tell us how often you see this, and what can be done to prevent that?
Well, it's very common to see the results of old injuries. Maybe the most famous would be an old knee injury from playing football in high school or college. But almost any kind of injury that damages cartilage will increase the chance of that cartilage not being efficient 5 or 10 or 20 years from that time. So this would affect football players, soccer players, in baseball, catchers commonly get it from injuries to their fingers over the years, or from squatting, they get it in the knees. But joints that have been used and damaged will generally tend to have it more often.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And tell us, you talk somewhat in the book about certain types of deficiencies, vitamin deficiencies that might predispose or even worsen osteoarthritis. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, it's interesting. What we have found that some vitamins may help preserve the cartilage. For instance, vitamin C may help, so that those who are deficient in vitamin C may have not as healthy cartilage. Some of the B vitamins may also improve the joint flexibility. And then if you keep the bones strong, that probably has a beneficial effect on the cartilage as well. So the calcium, the vitamin D, and those measures that you can take to keep the bones strong over the years help. From a practical standpoint, it does seem that vitamin C seems to help the cartilage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there are several over-the-counter medications that will help, I guess. Let's first talk about some of the supplements, glucosamine, chondroitin, and the omega-3s perhaps. Tell us about these different treatments for osteoarthritis.
Right. The glucosamine is one of the most popular now, and at a dose of around 1,500 milligrams a day, glucosamine may slow the loss of cartilage. And there are some studies that suggest that if you use it over a period of time, the cartilage, specifically in the knees, may not deteriorate as fast. Our recommendation to our patients is, because it's so safe, if you don't mind buying it and taking it, we would recommend that you do it, mainly for the long-term effects of saving your cartilage, and we'll know more as time goes on how much that actually does. On the other hand, there also may be some beneficial effect in pain. For instance, some studies show that the glucosamine may give the benefit in pain in the knees that ibuprofen or some other medications do. So there may be even more than one reason for thinking about trying the glucosamine. Generally, if you take it, you ought to take about 1,500 milligrams a day and plan to stay on it for a while. Don't be too upset if you don't notice a huge difference right away.
Mm-hmm. And chondroitin?
Chondroitin is thought also to prevent the wearing away of the cartilage. There is less objective evidence in clinical studies that it does that, so the feeling is generally not quite as strong. Of the two, I would say that glucosamine, we feel that it's really worthwhile to use. Chondroitin is commonly included in the glucosamine tablet. It's certainly not harmful. We just don't have as much specific evidence that it works. But generally with these, both of these compounds, they're safe. And if you feel better taking them, great, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. All right. And what about fish oil?
Well, fish oil does some interesting things. Fish oil provides your body with chemicals that let the body create less inflammation, so that especially when it replaces the animal fats in our diet, the body just produces less inflammation. So using fish oil or using fish that have an oily texture then can definitely make a difference in the amount of inflammation in the body. So it's one of the nutritional and supplemental aspects of treating arthritis that's definitely worthwhile to try. It's what we find is that, as you can tell, we're starting to make a list of things that can be done for nutrition and exercise and supplements. And we find that if people get on a basic program of exercise, usually with moist heat, and they watch their weight and they follow a good healthy diet and try some of these supplements, that it begins to fall into place and their arthritis, pain, and stiffness begins to get better.
Okay, let's take a question that came in on the internet. This is from Edna. She is 59 from Denver, Colorado. Edna says she's 76 with osteoarthritis, taking Celebrex. That's one of the newer COX-2 types. She's also has hypertension, high blood pressure on a water pill, has high cholesterol on Lipitor, and she's asking, will Tai Chi help her osteoarthritis? Tai Chi. What do you think, Dr.?
Tai Chi is a really good exercise program, and we think it's good to use anyway. We know that those, especially those over age 60 or 65, who take Tai Chi are steadier. They don't fall as much. They generally feel much better. And it's one of the types of exercise that does very well in arthritis in almost any joint. I would very much recommend that she try it, and she can check it out in one of the local recreation center, or you can go to a facility that has videotape or has group sessions, and there may be a charge, but it's very worthwhile. One of the aspects of looking at Tai Chi is that something that's several thousand years old and is stuck around must be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question is from John. He says he's 61 from New Mexico. He says he's had bad arthritis, osteoarthritis, in his knees and fingers. Also has heart fibrillation on a blood thinner. He's taking Coumadin for that. Doctor says I can't take Aleve or those types of medications. Tylenol doesn't help much. Suggestions. So I guess doctor's concerned about the side effects because he's on already a blood thinner, Coumadin, and that there might be an adverse reaction by mixing in some of the over-the-counter or prescription drugs. What would you suggest?
Well, the first thing that John should do is remember the basic program, and that's the moist heat twice a day, and the exercises to strengthen the muscles that support the knees and the other joints. That is actually the most important thing to do. As far as medications are concerned, his doctor is exactly right. the medicines such as Aleve, which is naproxen, and the older traditional anti-inflammatory medicines used for arthritis, cause coumadin to have a different effect and should not be used. The ones that can be used are the newer ones. It's the COX-2 anti-inflammatory drugs that you mentioned, including Celebrex and Bextra and Vioxx and Mobic. Each of those, of course, if your doctor approves it, could be used, and if they work, they can be used on a longer-term basis and don't generally interfere with coumadin. So they can be used before an operation or after an operation or along with coumadin quite safely. Mm-hmm. Just have to check with your doctor first.
Right. Okay. Well, we're going to take a brief break and come back to some of your questions that came in through the Internet. And we're going to be talking about rheumatoid arthritis and a little bit about gout. And we're talking with Dr. Harris McElwain. His book is Pain-Free Arthritis. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
So ladies, think you're an expert at multitasking? You're used to doing a million things at once, right? Well, it's not often you find a product that works as much as you do. Get ready to meet your match. Introducing Nordic Naturals fish oils featuring omega-3 fatty acids, the ultimate multitaskers. These versatile oils support a healthy cardiovascular system, enhance our mood, sharpen our mind, and even help manage the negative effects of stress, all at the same time. Of course, not all fish oils are created equal. Nordic Naturals products taste great, not fishy. Their patented manufacturing process and purity policies make their fish oils taste light, clean, and fruity without the fishy aftertaste. Finally, a product that works as hard as you do. Patented fruity fish oils only by Nordic Naturals.
Ask for Nordic Naturals fruit-flavored omega-3 fish oils in over 20 formulations for the entire family, including children's chewables and liquids. Available at fine health food stores everywhere. 1-800-662-2544. www.nordicnaturals.com.
How can I find out if he loves me without scaring him away?
How do I tell her that I want to be more than just friends?
Why is he so jealous?
How do I know if this is really love?
Love isn't always an easy road to navigate. If you've found yourself confused or disappointed about the path you're on, tune into Paths of Love every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Hi, this is Sandra Dawson. On my show, I will take questions from you, the listener, about your relationship concerns with compassion and warmth, never with humiliating put-downs. So why don't you tune in and let me show you how to improve your relationship and remove any obstacles to love on Paths of Love every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Breast cancer will affect 1 out of 9 women in the United States. As a woman, you need to know what you can do to make yourself more aware of breast cancer. Voice America is proud to present the Breast Cancer Awareness Hour with Dr. Deanna Atai every Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. On the show, Dr. Atai will educate you on the importance of early detection and some of the new techniques available for treating breast cancer. So tune in to the Breast Cancer Awareness Hour with Dr. Deanna Atai every Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on America's Voice, VoiceAmerica.com.
VoiceAmerica.com, your Internet talk leader.
We now return to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century. If you would like to participate in the discussion, call toll-free 1-888-335-5204. That's 1-888-335-5204. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff.
Welcome back to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century. Our topic today is arthritis, and my guest is Dr. Harris McElwain, author of Pain-Free Arthritis. Dr. McElwain, let's talk about rheumatoid arthritis. Tell us what the cause of this is and some of the deficiencies that you see in this disease.
Well, rheumatoid arthritis can be a really devastating arthritis. There are mild forms, moderate forms, and severe forms, but the problem with rheumatoid arthritis is that it causes inflammation in the joints, usually pain, swelling, stiffness in the hands, wrists, elbows, shoulders, knees, ankles, feet. We don't know the cause. We don't really have very much of a clue as to what triggers it off, but something triggers off the body to create inflammation in the joints. This usually causes stiffness in the morning, so it may take 1 or 2 or 3 hours or even longer for a person to get up and get going for the day. The fatigue is usually pretty prominent, and so many of our patients say, look, I'll put up with the pain, but make me not so tired. Then the long-term damage is what's really concerning, is that rheumatoid arthritis has the potential to do permanent damage to the joints, and probably about 70% of patients do have some permanent joint damage. And what happens is that the inflammation and the chemicals in the joints that do the inflammation also can cause damage to the cartilage and the bones, and that results in the deformities and the potential crippling. That's why many years ago it was called the, quote, crippling type of arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, it can affect the internal organs, like the heart, so it can actually do some internal damage as well. Mm-hmm. That's less common, but a definite possibility.
Okay. And vitamin or micronutrient deficiencies?
We don't know of any specific, but it's really important if you have the diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis to do everything. That includes the basic treatment of the hot water and the exercises and finding control. And the micronutrients are very important. Make sure you have a good supplement and make sure that your diet is proper to allow that. Many times in rheumatoid arthritis, because of the fatigue and just feeling bad and the trouble of going to preparing, eating, and this doesn't happen and people lose weight. So it's important to keep your nutrition up so that the body can do the healing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you see much benefit in prescribing fish oil in this situation?
We do. In fact, many of our patients use various manipulations of the diet. The fish oil gives the body chemicals that produce less inflammation. So it's very much worthwhile to try the fish oil for a month or two. And if it works, keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
Some other changes in diet can also help. Some foods tend to decrease inflammation, foods such as ginger. And it's been shown that, for instance, a teaspoon of ginger a day actually has an anti-inflammatory effect. Some patients are sensitive to certain foods. And I have one patient who has severe rheumatoid arthritis who operates a business here who found that by eliminating corn syrup from his diet, he was able to greatly decrease the amount of medications he takes to control the pain and swelling. So there's a lot of interesting things that we don't really understand, that we're at the point where we say, well, look, if this works, you can do it, and you can do it safely, even though we may not know exactly why it works.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the treatments for rheumatoid arthritis.
Well, the basic treatment for rheumatoid arthritis is, as I've said, extremely important that you do the moist heat twice a day, you do the exercises twice a day, keep the muscles strong, the joint support, and even more important in rheumatoid arthritis, it keeps the joints flexible. For instance, in rheumatoid arthritis, because it so commonly affects the hands and the wrists, the last thing you want is for those joints to get stiff so you can no longer open a jar, you can no longer button your clothes and do all the activities that we like to do. So just doing the moist heat and exercises will go a very long way towards keeping the joints working. Then there's two aspects of controlling it. One is the pain and swelling and stiffness. In addition to those things we've just outlined, the anti-inflammatory drugs do very well. There's about 20 of them, and those we mentioned that are the newest that are a little bit safer to use are the Celebrex and Dextran, Vioxx and Movic. If one of those works, great. If one of those doesn't work, there are others you can try. Sometimes the strongest anti-inflammatory, which is prednisone, is used in very tiny doses in severe cases to stop the pain and swelling and stiffness. And there is even evidence that a small dose of prednisone, like 5 milligrams a day or less, may actually slow down the joint damage for the first year or two. In cases in which there's more severe problems that aren't controlled, or if the joints show permanent damage on x-ray, Then there's a second group of medicines called the disease-modifying drugs, and their nickname is DMARDs. But they stop the arthritis at a more basic level. They take longer to work. They have some potential for some side effects, although most people don't develop them if they're monitored properly. So for many of these medicines, we just check blood counts once a month and for safety. By far the most popular of these medicines is methotrexate. It's a very old medicine. It turns out that in very low doses it works well in rheumatoid arthritis, and probably 80% of people get better. About a third of those that get better actually go in remission, and it has a very strong possibility of stopping the actual joint damage. Now, if that is tried, and after a number of months it just doesn't do the job, there are several new medicines that are nicknamed the biologic drugs. These are the ones that you hear the dramatic responses, and you see the ads on TV of people going from severe limitation to running across the meadow on their picnic with their grandkids. Those medicines are Enbrel, which is a shot twice a week at home, Remicade, which is an IV infusion every 8 weeks after the first three over 6 weeks. Another one is called Kineret, which is a shot once a day, and one is called Humira, which is a shot every 2 weeks. These medicines can control the rheumatoid arthritis very quickly, and the studies show that after several years, they actually can stop the permanent joint damage in many cases. None of them are perfect, which is the reason there's more than one available, but the combination of the hot water, the exercises, the anti-inflammatory drug, if needed, the methotrexate, and if needed, one of the biologic drugs, does very well for most people with rheumatoid arthritis.
Mm-hmm. And side effects?
Most people of the new medicines, the biologic drugs, do not have side effects. However, we have to remember they're new medicines. They're only about 6 or 7 years old, and some of them are younger than that. Because they affect lymphocytes and their products, lymphocytes do cause the inflammation and the joint damage in rheumatoid arthritis. However, some lymphocytes are good lymphocytes, and they help us protect against infections and other diseases. So there is the concern that when we're giving a medication that could have both good and bad effects, that we have to monitor. The specific infection that we check before we start these medicines is tuberculosis, because if a person has tuberculosis in their body, it's possible that it could become more active. So there's some simple things to do, like a chest x-ray and a skin test, that can tell us whether that person needs to be treated before they start these medicines. But overall, the benefits are huge, and the side effects are few and manageable.
Okay. We have a question from Hannah. She is 58 from Walla Walla, Washington. She says she's had rheumatoid arthritis for 8 years, stable on prednisone, 5 milligrams once a day. Her doctor says she has low bone density. She's saying osteopenia, and is recommending Fosamax once a week. She says, I heard those medications are hard on the intestine system. What do the doctors think? Also had menopause 4 years ago. What do you think, Dr. McElwain?
Well, the prednisone is a useful drug in low doses to control rheumatoid arthritis, and hopefully that's done that in her case. The bone loss happens in rheumatoid arthritis. It happens in women past the age of menopause, and it's accelerated by prednisone treatment in many cases. So she has some high risk for low bone mass or osteopenia, which is the borderline osteoporosis. And we know in osteoporosis, the bones are abnormally thin, makes you much more likely to have fractures. If you have a fracture in the hip, it can be a really big problem. You have to have an operation, and it's very dangerous for your life even. So it's really a good idea to make the bones stay strong and prevent that. The Fosamax is one of the medicines that's available along with Actonel and Forteo and others that actually build up the bone. So that for those who have borderline bone strength, we usually will to take calcium supplements to bring their total intake up to about 1,500 milligrams a day. We ask them to usually take a vitamin D supplement along with the calcium. We ask them to, guess what, do exercises, build up the bones in the back by building using muscle exercises for the back. Try to do some walking, which is a great natural stimulation for bone formation. And then add a medicine like the Fosamax or the Actonel or one of the others. And about 95% of people who take those medicines build up their bone. It lowers the chance of fractures in the hip and the spine dramatically within a few months to a year. The side effects are actually quite low. Some people who have irritation in the esophagus or narrowing or stricture of the esophagus shouldn't take those pills. But that's a specific situation, and you should talk to your doctor. Overall, the benefits of taking those medications tremendously outweigh the risk.
Okay, well, we're going to take another quick break here, and we'll be back with your questions. And Dr. Harris McElwain, don't go away. We'll be right back.
So ladies, think you're an expert at multitasking? You're used to doing a million things at once, right? Well, it's not often you find a product that works as much as you do. Get ready to meet your match. Introducing Nordic Naturals Fish Oils, featuring omega-3 fatty acids, the ultimate multitaskers. These versatile oils support a healthy cardiovascular system, enhance our mood, sharpen our mind, and even help manage the negative effects of stress, all at the same time. Of course, not all fish oils are created equal. Nordic Naturals products taste great, not fishy. Their patented manufacturing process and purity policies make their fish oils taste light, clean, and fruity without the fishy aftertaste. Finally, a product that works as hard as you do. Patented Fruity Fish Oils, only by Nordic Naturals.
Ask for Nordic Naturals fruit-flavored omega-3 fish oils in over 20 formulations for the entire family, including children's chewables and liquids. Available at fine health food stores everywhere. 1-800-662-2544. www.nordicnaturals.com.
In surveys, voters cite education as a topic of great interest. However, most schools are still operating as industrial-age schools, using outdated instruction and textbooks. The digital age offers new possibilities for a new vision of education, where technology can be a driving force to connect students and teachers with new knowledge, experts, and their communities. Voice America is proud to announce a new show dedicated to informing America about these new possibilities. Edutopia, from the George Lucas Foundation, will explore how technology can change the way students are preparing for the digital age. That's Edutopia, hosted by Dr. Milton Chen, every Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time on VoiceAmerica.com.
Chirp, chirp, chirp.
Oh, bird. Hey, good to see you.
Oh, yeah, Ranger. Hey, did you see those people leaving the forest without putting out their fire?
No, where?
Right over here. You gonna go rough them up?
No. I'm just gonna ask them to put their fire completely out.
Oh, come on, you pansy.
Did you just call me a pansy?
Did I say that out loud?
You start a fire, you put it out. A public service message brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is VoiceAmerica.com, America's voice.
We now return to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century. If you would like to participate in the discussion, call toll-free 1-888-335-5204. That's 1-888-335-5204. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff.
Welcome back to Arthritis. I can't believe this joint pain. My guest today is Dr. Harris H. McElwain, author of Pain-Free Arthritis. Let's take some questions that came in from the internet. This question is from Margie, age 48, from New Mexico. Friend has a freestyle glider, I guess called Gazelle, and her friend has rheumatoid arthritis. Margie says she has rheumatoid arthritis also. Is it marketing hype or does it work? What do you think, Doctor?
The glider actually is a good exercise, and the idea is that you're walking, but instead of on a treadmill, you glide, and so it takes a lot of the stress off of the legs. So it's actually quite a good exercise. It brings several good points about arthritis in general and rheumatoid arthritis as well. Exercise is so important, and we encourage people with all types of arthritis to do exercise to strengthen the muscles, keep the joints flexible, and exercise such as the Carter Glide is fine. The trick in these would be to first make sure that your cardiologist says it's okay, that you don't have some other reason not to do it. But if you start with 30 seconds or a minute a day, and then the rule is when you stop it, you feel fine. You don't feel any worse than you did when you start. And then every day add 30 seconds or a minute as you can. And so this is a long-term investment. This is not something you're going to do for a week. Be patient and watch it build up, and you'll find you can go quite a long time in a short period of weeks that very much builds up your endurance, helps build up the muscles, and builds up your strength generally. It keeps the flexibility of the muscles, so it does a lot of very good things for arthritis. The old teaching for arthritis, and especially for rheumatoid arthritis, was, well, just go take your medicine and relax and don't do anything, just sit around. And that turns out not to be the best thing to do. If you use your muscles and use the joints, they do better. You can actually use weights. You can actually do more vigorous exercise. And the studies are now showing that that is okay to do. Of course, you have to use common sense. Start out really slow. First, do the exercises that just build up the muscles. And then you can add a pound or two weight. And then you can get to more vigorous exercise or resistance. But as long as you do very gradually increasing exercise and stop if it really bothers you, or ask your doctor or physical therapist for some advice, it's fine.
Okay. Next is from Elmer, age 52, from Sparks, Nevada. Elmer says he has bad osteoarthritis of the knees, read about fluid injections. Does it work? I guess he's referring to the Heilgan or Synvisc series of injections.
Right. The medicines that are injected into the knees, the fluid injections, are hyaluronic acid, and that's one of the normal parts of the joint fluid. The idea is that they're injected once a week for 3 to 5 weeks, depending on the medicine. And after a few weeks, there's an improvement in probably 60 or 70% of patients. The interesting thing is this improvement may last for 6 or 8 months. So it's not the old cortisone injection where you go to your doctor's office, they give you a cortisone shot, and you walk out, and the next day you feel great. But it goes away in a few weeks to a month or two. These medicines work more slowly, and we don't know exactly how they work. But they somehow nourish the cartilage or make the cartilage work better in the knee. And then when it works, you may have improvement for 6 or 8 months. There's even some early evidence that suggests that if you then repeat it in 6 or 8 months or a year, that you may actually build up some effect on the knees and may actually slow down the loss of cartilage. Every study hasn't shown that they work that well, but there's no question that some patients have a great response. And because it's not a cortisone and it doesn't do any damage that we know of, it's not a bad treatment to try.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question is from Rudy in St. Louis, Missouri. He has gout and wants to know, what is the link between gout and rich foods? We didn't talk much about gout. Maybe you could just give us a brief.
Well, gout is a pretty common, very old type of arthritis. And there's a lot of stories about gout from 300 or 400 years ago when every meal had 2 or 3 courses of meat. So very high protein, high uric acid intake. Uric acid is especially a problem in those who eat organ meats like kidney and liver and brain, which isn't the most common American diet, to be honest. But it's thought that gout, which is results in acute pain and swelling in the knee or foot or ankle or other joint, can actually do permanent damage. But the problem is the uric acid builds up in the blood. Either your body creates too much or your body doesn't get rid of enough through the kidneys. And over the years, it builds up. Probably has a lot to do with our inherited genetic code, but can be made worse by certain foods, as I mentioned. High alcohol intake seems to make it worse as well, and it causes the arthritis. If the arthritis is left untreated, it can actually do some permanent damage. Rich foods have come along with the stories with gout because of the history. You remember the pictures of the kings that are sitting on a couch with their foot up because it has gout, and they're
right.
Drinking wine and eating their banquet. And that probably was more common then. Now the American diet just doesn't happen to be like that. The bottom line, though, is there are great medicines available. You don't really have to have gout. So if you suffer from gout, you ought to go to your doctor. They can give you some medications to control the acute attack, usually one of the anti-inflammatory drugs that we spoke about earlier, and then one of the medicines that actually lowers the uric acid level in the blood. And if that's done for 6 or 8 months, the uric acid level is controlled, and then the gout really won't come back.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've covered a lot of territory in this short hour regarding arthritis, which is a joint inflammation, sometimes with joint erosion. Arthritis is common, affecting 1 in 3 adults, and is a leading cause of disability. Common types are osteoarthritis or degenerative arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, which is an autoimmune disease, and even gouty arthritis, as we just talked about. There are many treatments for this, including standard over-the-counter medications, prescription medications, and certain supplements. Prescription medications and even over-the-counters can have side effects, and you need to be aware of that. There are newer medications that can treat these so-called disease-modifying drugs that apparently have been quite successful. There are other approaches to arthritis that Dr. McElwain talked about, the importance of moist heat twice a day, exercise twice a day. Stretching, of course, would be part of free exercise. We mentioned that maintaining normal body weight, especially for osteoarthritis, is important.